It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
No Razzie nominations, no Oscar nominations. Are we just mediocre? How you doing, Will?
You know, the other night, I did not feel mediocre. I was at my... And maybe our guest later will be able to tell me what I could have done differently in the scenario. But I was at Sardo's, my usual watering hole.
I think it's beyond water. You've turned water into wine at this point.
And there was this girl singing a karaoke song. This gorgeous, half-black, half-I-don't-know-what girl singing a British girl.
British.
Yes, this was the major turn on.
Hello, love. Fresh in your drink.
Better than that.
Okay.
And she was singing this song, and as she walked by, I commented on the song, and for whatever reason, she immediately sat down.
I'm going to assume alcohol.
Maybe that was the reason. Let me tell you what. This girl, far too good looking for me. Far too good looking for me. I'm not an ugly man, but I am not, you know... So I've dropped this girl a line. I've not heard back from her yet.
She has no idea who you
are.
She
has no idea who I am, does she? But maybe we could get to the bottom of this and what to do later. But what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast, Sean?
Same. What is going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast? 2013, working on the road to 500, as we mentioned last week.
For the Facebook likes?
The Facebook likes. We'll get there. And, you know, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Like us on iTunes, tell your friends, spread the word. We're going to have some great guests coming, so just keep doing what you're doing, people.
Yeah, if you haven't if you haven't written a review or given us a star rating, you know, we haven't pushed for that in a while, but we could really use them on iTunes. It helps.
Yes.
It helps my ego is what it does. Sean, who's our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, have you ever wanted to wait 19 years to find out the ending of a story? Does the thought of a cast of 2,000-plus characters spread out over 14,000 pages appeal to you? Well, then do I have a book series for you. The Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan is finally over. Thank God, now I can die. Jesus Christ, I've been reading this since I was 12.
And you were up till 3 a.m. reading
this. Yeah, I read 400 pages yesterday. I read about another 50 today during lunch. So I have about 450 pages left until this long, endless, epic fantasy nightmare is over.
I don't know anything about this series, and I am not going to...
It's like take Game of Thrones and multiply it by four, throw in a little bit of Tolkien, and that's what you get.
On the show today, we're going to be... The show Girls is back. Girls, everybody loves that show. The Golden Globes are happening this weekend. Does it even matter? And... we're going to have a inside baseball enemy this week. But first, I'm very excited. Our guest today, he is the author of a book, Hesitation Leads to Masturbation, A Gentleman's Guide to Getting Laid. And he's with us over Skype all the way from my hometown, New York, Jack Dalton.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
What's going on? Everything's going on. First off, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Big fan. I'm really excited to talk to you guys today. I know you said you had some interesting things going on lately with women.
Look, I always have interesting things going on. Notice I don't say good things. I always have interesting things going on.
Well, do tell, and let's see if we can dissect here and see what leads to masturbation besides everything.
Well, everything does lead to... 5 minutes of idle thoughts lead to masturbation. Let's take a step back. Let's talk about the book for a second. What is your... thesis statement, I guess, or what's the premise of the book? What are you teaching men out there?
Well, it's interesting. I'm teaching men the opposite of the logic. Don't take this the wrong way. Before, there is no woman that's unattainable.
Okay.
It's really a book for the average guy, the every man. You know, the guy that's not George Clooney. Well, just because he's gay and he's rich. You know, the guy that's out there that's just a regular guy and maybe isn't stacked up with coin and wants to get the woman. How does he do that? He does it with confidence. Well, and that's really the theme.
That would be us. We're that guy. We're that guy.
Whoa,
who's
hold on one second.
You're that guy as well. Well, you know what? I was looking through the book and everything, and one of the things that it did seem to really speak more to the average guy. It was a little more self-deprecating. I thought it was a little more funnier than maybe I would expect a book like this to be. I've never actually read one of these How to Get Laid books.
And that's why the British chick didn't call you back.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that. It's really supposed to be self-deprecating, because at the same time, when you go meet a woman and you can take, you know, a little humor into yourself and not take yourself too seriously, I think that's a disarming technique, which is mentioned in the book. It's all about disarming and actually making them remove their mental AK-47. Put it down. Now we can talk.
Now we're talking about gun controls. That's what's happening here? Well, here's my question for you. So you're assuming, though, you're presupposing that men have a sense of humor or can disarm. What happens if you're just hopeless?
Well, I mean, I think hopeless is a sign of lack of experience, which is a sign of fear of failure. I mean, it's all comes down. I mean, when you check out the book, it really is more of about an evolution. I mean, I was pretty humble and talked about how many times I've gotten rejected. I think I said 2.2 million times, which obviously is a little bit exaggerated for humor.
Well, we know it's 2.1 million.
2.1 million, yeah, yeah. Exactly. The point is that, you know, if you don't take yourself too seriously, go in and you don't seem like you just got out of prison after a 17-year stint, there's a good chance that, if, you know, with a little humor and some qualifying, which is the most important thing in the book, if you could pick up one thing in the book, it's about qualifying your potential target.
So by qualifying, for those of you not familiar, that's a sales idea where you don't want to try and sell something to someone that's not a potential buyer. You know,
exactly.
So you're not going to try and sell, if you work at a Mercedes dealership, you're not going to try and sell it a Mercedes to a deadbeat. They're not a qualified prospect. You need to ask a few questions to make sure that this person has the means to buy whatever it is you're selling. So, you know, how do you qualify a woman then that you meet at a bar?
Great question. Well, another thing too is the book's not bar driven.
Okay.
It's about everyday life, because I mean, if you factor your week, there's 168 hours in a week. How much of that time do you spend in a bar? A lot of books are alcohol based, which gives you balls. Which my book is about having balls without alcohol.
So cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, drugs, obviously. Or having a big bag of coke on you, yeah. Maybe some heroin or some ecstasy or some Molly, obviously. But, you know, it's about when you're at the food store, when there's you know, a brief period of time, you're on the train, you're on a bus, how do you do it? So really, within the first minute, you should know if that person has someone else in their life that they're A, involved with, B, happy with, or C, in love with. And those three questions you could find out in a non-creepy way, and find out if this person's available.
Well,
that's really what it's about.
Actually, I wanted to ask you about that, because I have been running into this thing, because I go out, I talk to a lot of women, you know, wherever I meet them, a party, something like that, and it seems like after putting in quite some time with them sometimes, probably more than I should be, I get hit with this, they have a boyfriend.
The boyfriend card.
I mean, and honestly, sometimes I don't know if it's a bullshit thing. Sometimes if I don't know if it's... I guess it doesn't matter what it is. But what is the non-creepy way to get to that very early on?
Well, that's a great question. You're at a party. You're talking to a chick. You obviously have a good rapport. First off, you're probably giving too much information out anyway. You basically gave your social security number, your bank statements. She doesn't need to talk to you anymore. She already has all the information she needs. The key is to get from point A to point B. So within the first minute you're talking, say you meet her at a party, and I've done this before, you know, you can go in with something like silly, like, you know, your husband, does he have a mullet and feathered hair? Something stupid. And she's going to say one of two things. No, she doesn't have a husband. B, just no. Or C, you know.
Yes, and he's right behind you.
Yeah, or she's right behind, hey, good to meet you, blah, blah, blah. If she says she doesn't have a husband, you could laugh and say, it's so funny, I don't have a husband either. You know, there's a way to do it, and there's a way to kind of say it in a, like I said, a non-threatening way.
So it's as simple as that? Because that doesn't seem like that.
So what you're telling me is that my pickup line is probably not the best.
Well, I don't know all your lines.
Well, it's what's your first name and what high school did you go to? I'll find you on Facebook.
Yeah, you see, that's a great
that's
point.
That's not going to work.
No, you never ask last names, just like you never give your last
name. I didn't ask the last name. I just want the first name and the high school. I'd find her.
Interesting.
let me ask you this, because he mentions Facebook, not necessarily jokingly, by the way. And because I really feel like online has affected the way we interact with each other.
Absolutely.
And I feel like there's so much online dating being done that when women go out, that they're not interested in meeting a guy because they're doing all that online, and they're just kind of like, they're putting themselves in like a bubble when they're out. I mean, am I wrong in that thinking?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's really why you got to bob and weave. I mean, the whole point of getting, when you meet someone out, the girl, you should be within 5 minutes. You should either have a number, know what's going on. Even if you have a great conversation, be like, that's great. I actually am meeting some friends, you know, someplace else. You really kind of hit and run. And that's really the bottom line. Then you remove her from that area. The more likely you are to move her to from point A to point B, the more likely you are to move her from B to C, which is in your bedroom.
Now, okay, now explain the moving. I mean, give us like an example of how we could, because maybe this girl the other night I'm talking to, maybe if I had been a little more savvy, I could have moved her to point B.
From Sardis to Bob's
right.
Big Boy.
Yeah, so, I mean, something like that. Move her from the bar to, like, get a bite to eat to then to C to in my
chili
bedroom.
Fries.
But,
yeah.
But what should I have done, do you think, in this scenario?
Well, I think, I mean, based on just the little information that you told me, I think you probably spent too long talking to her. And what happened was she found out either the information that she wanted to know or didn't want to know.
So what should I be – I mean, this is such a general question, but what should I be saying?
It's a general question. Though, first off, you obviously go on rapport. You obviously – are you meeting her at a bar? Do you have mutual friends? Is it just a stranger?
Let's say it's a girl I meet at a bar.
Yeah. You just start rapping with her. And again, within the first minute, you're talking to her. Say her name's Betty. Oh, Betty with a B. I mean, stupid stuff, non-threatening to find out if she has a sense of humor. If she doesn't laugh at that, you know, she's an idiot. Oh, Will, I'm Will with a W. You know what I mean? How many times I've said Jack with a J? They just like, well, how else is it supposed to be spelled?
Silent Q.
You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, it's a disarming technique. Again, your whole goal is to make her feel more comfortable, because every other jerk before you made her feel uncomfortable. That's why she's not talking to most guys.
So I disarm her with a little bit of charm, a joke here or there. So, and we chat for a little bit, but you say don't give too much information. So how much information is enough to be like, you want to get out of here?
Well, first off, you know you never ask her what to do, what she does for a living. Just like you never tell her what you do.
Keep it a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, curiosity is what kills the cat. You can tell her that eventually, but, you know, she's interviewing you just as much as, you know, you're interviewing her. That little mystery is what's going to keep her wanting to go from point A to point B.
Reason not to say what you do because it shouldn't define you, or it shouldn't be the thing that
right, exactly.
You don't want to be judged by it in some
way? Absolutely. And you know what? It's so funny because when I spend a lot of time out in L.A., you know, my company's based out there. I go out there pretty often. And it's a good time. But my line out there is I do nothing. What do you do? And you know what? It works like a charm. Because there's a certain kind of woman that's very curious. Oh my God, he doesn't do anything?
Yeah, then until you make her pay the bill.
Well, you can do that too. But then if you say you do nothing and then you pay the bill, I mean, you know, you're paying for it one way or the other. So you might as well just get it out of the way.
Now, you know, it's funny because we were talking about the online dating very briefly, and you were talking about confidence stuff, and I had been in a fairly long off and on relationship, and when I got out of that, I was having a lot of trouble, like, out in society talking to women again, and I found that when I signed up for, like, an online dating site, it kind of forced me to start going out on dates more, talking to women in a dating situation more, and it made me a little more confident to actually approach women in reality. Do you recommend, like...
No, I'm gonna tell you something right now, a secret that I've kept, that it's gonna save you thousands of dollars, and it's gonna score you thousands of women. What you do, what's your closest airport, LAX?
Burbank.
Burbank, okay. Burbank's great, but it's a little small. So
let's
what I want
LAX,
you to do
then.
is take the two-hour trip with traffic, even though it's not far.
Yeah.
Go to LAX, get there on a Saturday afternoon, and spend the day just meeting women. And here's the great beauty of this whole thing. You're never going to see them again. They're traveling. You have the pick of the litter all day. You can go up to 20 women. So if you score 6 phone numbers, maybe you end up meeting 2 and you bang 1. I mean, just the numbers and the confidence you'll build in that day, well, that's like 2 years of online dating.
So just hole up at a airport bar for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll be calling me, begging me to hire me as a consultant, because you'll be amazed at the results you'll get.
There's some logic to this. I kind of like this idea.
Oh, no, you won't like the idea. You'll love the idea.
Actually, I had a friend of mine who lived – in a condo complex directly across the street from a hotel that had a lot of business travelers constantly. He basically didn't sleep alone for 8 months because he would just hang out at the bar there at the hotel and meet all these business traveler women. And he would say, you know, hey, I got a jacuzzi across the street. You want to go? Yeah. And that was it. And, you know, came into work late every day.
Done. Yeah. Done. Try the airports. I'm telling you, spend a half a day even. And you call me and tell me what you think.
Now, I know some of our listeners are probably listening to this. And they're probably wondering, what qualifies you to dish out this information? Like, is it just been the success rate you've had? Like, how long did it take you to get to the level where you felt comfortable to write a book about this?
Oh, listen, as you tell in the book, I by no means say that I'm great. I mean, it's a very self-deprecating, honest book. I mean, in my early days, I mean, I lost a lot, but you had to turn those defeats into victories. And I figured, well, I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm talking too long. Maybe I'm doing this. And he made some adjustments. And with that became success and obviously failures along the way and building the confidence up. And now I truly believe that no one's unattainable. And I don't mean that with arrogance, by the way.
Okay. Well, like you said, it is all about confidence.
And listen... And people probably are listening saying, this guy's a jerk. And you know what? That's okay. I'm not for everyone. And that's another thing, too. Understanding that not every woman wants to bang me. Like, I've accepted that. You know, they're not lined up to bang me. It takes a little work. I mean,
what is it, like,
you know.
The Tao of fucking? Is that what this is?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is, like, you know, there are plenty that do. But I'm not going to win every one. And I understand that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But you
and
just
I think
need, yeah,
with that
and
attitude, the biggest fear that guys have is hearing no. I mean, I met Mae Anderson. She's a former Victoria's Secret supermodel at JFK a couple years ago. Literally, I did this. You know, I went up to her. We started BSing. I mean, I actually had to walk away from her. True story.
Why did you walk away? What?
You know, to be honest with you, my technique went so well that. I was actually caught off guard as well. I was going to Costa Rica.
Oh, okay.
And I was with a buddy, and I went in on her, and, you know, I recognized her. She obviously didn't recognize me. And I started rapping with her. And to be honest with you, the conversation went so well, I was, like, caught off guard. I was actually off guard. And
the hunter becomes the hunted.
Yeah, you don't know your own strength there. You don't know your own power.
And guys, please, I say it with humility, by the way.
Well, that's why, like an Idaho senator, you just take her into a bathroom stall.
Well, there's a technique. Yeah, and click my feet, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a technique when I recognize somebody, if there's some kind of, like, famous person, I'll do the assumptive I know you, and you just assume that you know them and you've met them, and there's a good chance they've met a lot more people than you have. So they're not going to insult you depending on how you approach them and say they don't know you. So if you do it the right way with the right tone of voice and the right approach, talk to whoever you want.
Okay, now I have another question. You know, me and Sean, two guys, we hang out a lot. We end up going to bars or parties or even just out hanging out, even at the movies, because you said you can meet people anywhere.
You're making this sound a little Brokeback.
I know I am.
But I have no doubt in my mind.
How about the whole, like, wingman, being someone's wingman? Like, what's the guy to that? Is that a technique that should be used? Is that – how would that work? Like, what are your thoughts
on that?
Absolutely.
But the wingman could make or break the deal. I mean, obviously, it depends. It's a numbers game. So if there's two girls, there's one manager, which I talk about in the book. There's one girl who cock blocks everybody, who does not want anyone to get laid. She'll do everything she can to make sure that no one else gets laid if she's not. I mean, someone's got to take her down or defuse her at least. That's the wingman. Someone's going to be nice. And now if you're a group of three or four guys, the numbers are different. If it's just you two and you meet two women and one's down and one's not, I mean, it is all numbers game. It comes down to making that. Someone's got to talk to the ugly girl. It's just fact. And even if you do the switcheroo, you know, you're talking to her, Will's talking to her for 1 second, and Sean's talking. You know, it really depends on making them both feel comfortable. That's really a fact.
Well, then who gets – I guess the problem will be is who gets the attractive.
Well, is it really uncalled for if we just start rock, paper, scissoring for it in front of them?
Well, that could affect the game.
It's like, I'm sorry, I lost. What's your name?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I mean, listen, these are all valid questions, but at the same time, we've all been in situations where And I talk about it in the book. I have a friend who's a kamikaze. He basically inadvertently cock blocks everyone. So, you know, that's even worse.
I know people like that.
Now, what about having a female friend as a wing person?
The best one. That's the best wing.
Is that because you're vouched for a little bit?
Well, if she's good looking, that could be the best wing.
Because they know, oh, he must not be that creepy. She's hanging out with him.
Yeah, but she's got to be attractive.
So if we were out with our friend Andrea Marchand, then maybe she would...
Or Alyssa Vaughn, we'd be covered.
We'd be all very attractive listeners of the podcast. Which brings me to another question, actually. Mm-hmm. We have this creative product. It's been gaining traction. How can we use this podcast to get laid?
To be honest with you guys, if this were my podcast, I mean, this is a facilitator. This is you should be promoting the hell of this when you go out in a funny way. You know what I mean? And this is like, you kidding me? You have a great, great platform. You have great listeners. You have a great show and a concept. I mean, you should really be telling me how to do it.
So what we should do is go up to the next girl we meet and be like, hey, so listen, we got this podcast. It's really funny. You should listen to the latest episode. We got a guy on that tells us how to pick chicks up at bars.
Well, I know you guys are being pretty humble. I'm sure you guys have no difficulties. I think, you know, if anything, you could have a girl. To be honest with you, if I were you, I'd be having women guests on as a woman's perspective and having them, like, rotate. And in, like, literally probably 2 months, you guys would be having mad orgies and calling me and saying, hey, Jack, jump on a plane and come out to L.A.
We have had some attractive female guests.
For which we have been criticized.
But
how so? How have you been criticized?
I don't know. We tend to be very enamored with our female guests at times, I guess, so we've been told.
I actually, nothing against you, Jack. I prefer when we have female guests because I think we somehow bring more of a... There's a flirtiness, or we try to bring...
We peacock.
We peacock, I guess, for lack of a better word. The word from another
It's in the book. I mean, peacocking, yeah. I mean, that's just... I talk about it a lot. I mean, it's no different than an actual regular peacock. That's where it comes from. You know? If you go out someplace, you got to stick out a little bit.
So, any recent, like, war stories? Any recent tales from the trenches?
I mean, they happen so frequently because, as you know, New York is literally, it happens to trains and every day taking the subway. The key is if you're on any kind of moving object like a bus or a train, you kind of have to find out where they're getting off first, stopwise, so you know how much time to work.
So once again, that's part of qualifying, so you know how much time
you have. Yeah, but again, you're not being in a creepy way because you got to kind of be like, you know, where are you heading? You know, without asking directly where you're heading.
Hey, baby, when do you get off?
I wouldn't say something like that, but sure, you can definitely do that.
If only you could have seen the face he was making as he said that, too.
I'm sure. I mean, listen, it happens all the time. I mean, and again, just from sheer numbers, because again, in New York City, you're walking. In L.A., you're driving, so there's a big disconnect.
That's true.
Yeah. If there's a woman in my car and I'm driving, I get very nervous. Like, how did you get here?
It's much more difficult to meet women in L.A., fact.
I would agree with that. Being someone who's lived in New York and lived here, I think it is more difficult to meet people here. And I also find that a lot of the women here, and I hate to make that stereotype of they're all like actors, but I feel like there's this idea beyond dating of or hooking up with or things like that of, well, what can you do for me because we're all kind of in this business.
Right.
I have a friend. She's actually a good friend of mine. She's a model. She's very beautiful. She cannot go to like a Starbucks or any coffee shop or like by herself, because if she sits somewhere by herself for more than 5 minutes, she doesn't know, guys just don't leave her alone, and it's just really uncomfortable, and she hates it. So she won't go. She just won't go to a coffee shop. She won't go sit and read somewhere by herself. She says it's a little bit of a problem, but anytime she's alone, guys just approach her constantly.
How pretty is she?
Very. Very, very striking. And she's a professional model, and she just mentioned that this is something, I didn't even think about it, but she says it's a really big hassle.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, listen, is she a sweetheart?
She is, but, you know, it's only so many, eventually you assume you just lose patience with it. I personally have never experienced this phenomenon, but...
You don't have women beating
you.
No,
I don't have binders full of women, just, you know.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What do you think of that woman with the Alabama quarterback?
Oh! Geez.
The one that looks like she's the romantic lead in an 80s football comedy?
great call. That's a great
call. She's got like the big teased out hair.
16 candles, and she looks old for a 21-year-old.
Yeah, she didn't. She looked much older than that.
I don't know. I just saw the one picture of her, so I don't really have a big opinion on the matter.
She has that like Southern Alabama white trash look to her.
Yeah, well, for some people, that's you know.
No, listen, I'm not arguing with it. I like that Southern Alabama trashy look.
The I prefer the horrible L.A. trashy.
So like the hipster Los Feliz.
Well, let me tell you what I love. You know what's the funny thing with me? And this again speaks to you. Say you could get anybody because I've always been attracted to more like tattooed hipstery kind of
women who I'm afraid are going to cut me and take my money.
Yes, but
so you must attack Silver Lake.
You know, I don't enough as I should. I guess I've always had this thing of like I'm, and this is the wrong attitude to have, of where I'm not like, for lack of a better word, rock and roll enough for them. In a weird way. Like, they're looking for someone with a bunch of tattoos, and I'm just kind of straight-laced Will, who just happens to be attracted to this.
Right. Well, dude, again, I truly feel it's the more you approach them and you're in that environment, I think it's just human nature. Eventually, you're going to start banging a bunch of them.
Well, hey.
You almost become them, you know?
From your lips to Allah's ears.
Oh yeah, big fan of Allah over here.
Inshallah.
So listen, we're gonna go talk about some other pop culture topics going on here with you. But before we do, as I said, we've gone through the book. It's a great read. We really recommend it. Where can people find the book? Where can people pick up a copy of this?
I mean, you can go on Amazon, find it, iTunes. You could find it. Go to Jack Dalton Does on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, but as far as the book, yeah, Amazon or iTunes. That's
by iTunes. You mean the iBook store? Or do you have an audio version of it? Oh, okay.
No audio version. Yeah, iBook store. Yeah, okay. iTunes. You know, go to iBook store. Yeah, exactly. I just tell people Amazon. Even if they don't have a Kindle, they can download the free application and check it out.
Well, listen, if you're a good listener of the podcast, you've already bought a copy of the book because we're gonna have a link to it on our Facebook page. Check it out. And you said it on Kindle, and it's not even that much, right? On Kindle, how much?
It's $2.99.
Come on, $2.99.
Yeah. That's less than a cup of coffee.
It is. At Starbucks, it is. You're right.
Yeah.
And think of all the sex you're going to be having.
Like, it'd be like a ball pit. Wait, maybe drop the right metaphor.
If nothing else, guys, you could have written your own book. It's more about the stories and kind of reminiscing on successes as well as failures.
Yeah, honestly, like I said, from what I read, it's a fun read. It's just a fun read, whether you're trying to get laid or not. But let's face it, who isn't trying to get laid?
Unix.
Exactly.
Unix. The poor
and castrati.
Well, thanks for the support, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to move on to the topics here.
Sure.
And we have talked much since this podcast has been on about a year now about the HBO series Girls, and it has come back. Have you ever watched the show Girls?
I do, but very rarely. I got to be honest with you. There's one chick I like, and that's it.
Which one?
William's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, Allison. Well, she is.
She's a looker.
She's a looker. Of course, she's the type A personality in the show.
Who doesn't
she's
take her shirt off?
She's the one who will do no nudity. But we happen to be big fans of the show, and the show's coming back, and I'm wondering now because it's so like kind of a raw, almost biographical show about Lena Dunham. Now that she is a little more famous, probably has a little more together, how this is going to affect the show? Do you think this is going to affect the show?
I don't think it's going to affect the second season because she wrote this and directed it already 6 months ago before the wave. I mean, she was already in production on the second season before the first season had even really aired too many episodes. So I think the wave broke on her just as she was getting to the back half of this season. I think what will be interesting is the third season, because by then she'll have fully been... She'd have signed this book deal. She's a multimillionaire now. Everyone's kissing her ass. She's in the Apatow movie. I think life now is different for Lena Dunham, where it was just starting to really change when she was... Especially in the writing phase of the second season. So I think this is going to be more of the same. an extension of what we already saw and liked. My curiosity will be what happens next.
Okay, yeah. Okay. The other thing that I think is interesting is she got a lot of criticism for not having, like, any black people, I guess, in her world, so now she's going to be hooking up with Donald Glover from Community.
Yeah, from what I've heard from...
Did you ever thought on that then, Jack? Because I heard you laughing. Because I think it's
did,
little...
just because it's so funny, though. They try to, you know, make it something else that's not.
Yeah, I wonder, is it feel like it's too something forced in there now? Like, I
absolutely.
Mean,
well, from what I've heard, speaking to people that have actually seen episodes, the Donald Glover thing is played very much for the fact that he is a black man, which is an experience Alina Dunham's character has never quite had before, and that's where the scenario leads. So that's how that's getting played up. So there you go, kids.
You know, I'm thinking about this, and it's a show, Girls, and we were just talking about how we can sleep with girls. And entertainment and women and shows like, not necessarily Girls, because I think all these girls are portrayed with real kind of issues, but say an HBO show like Sex and the City. Do you think, Jack, that shows like that really help define how women behave like in reality? Do you think they,
absolutely,
like, when they go out, like, yeah, how do
of
you
course.
Think that's had an effect?
I absolutely do. Absolutely. I mean, people will talk all the time about, you know, kids watching Jackass and doing stupid things. I mean, women watch that stuff and go out and think that they're going to go spend that ridiculous amount of money on their outfits and get laid and get the rich guy. Fact.
So, do you think a show like maybe Girls, where they're a little more
poor,
they're not like Carrie on Sex and the City. Lena Dunham is not, you know, necessarily the prettiest girl in the room. Do you think actually that might take it back the other way? Do you think women might
are you hoping this works in your favor?
I'm hoping women will lower their standards.
Well, I think that's that Brooklyn-esque kind of angle there. I mean, Girls are a little bit more grungy, let's face it.
Yeah.
So I think it's the more everyday girl. So I think it's a tone down, yeah. And I think that's what resonates with audiences.
And you know what? I said that Lena Dunham is not... You know, I kind of... There's something about... I know she's like frumpy Jewish girl, and there's something about that that's in my wheelhouse. I don't know why.
See, I'm oddly attracted to Shoshana on that show.
You know what, at the end of the day, let's face it, I'll take any and all of them. Another thing going on the same weekend, same night that Girls comes back, the Golden Globes. Now, this is the first of the televised award shows of the year, and Jack, me and Sean talk a lot about the Oscars on the show. We're big film buffs and stuff.
Same here.
And, you know, the Globes is always this question of, does this award even matter? And I wonder if in a year that seems like it's a pretty contested year, if it does make a difference, if any bit of momentum will help a movie.
Absolutely. If they're not in the Globes, they're not most likely getting an Oscar.
Yeah, but those nominations already came out a while ago, so...
But don't you think if, like, a movie like... Sean, don't you think of a movie if, like, Lincoln wins the Globe, isn't it now suddenly getting that much more Oscar buzz?
Absolutely. Well, that's what I'm saying. So I think tomorrow morning is the announcement of the Oscars, right?
Yeah. Yes. By the time this episode goes up, we'll already know all the nominees.
Yeah, so I think it's a big scam, obviously. I mean, if you really want to talk films, I'm the guy. So
yeah,
I love
how would it get momentum, though? Because the nominations...
But for the winner...
For the winner of what?
Whatever film Lincoln gets.
Oh, right.
Nominated.
I'm sorry. I got confused for a second. That's because I forgot that the voting hasn't yet happened yet for the Oscars.
Yeah. The nominees haven't even. Have you seen anything lately that you liked, man? Have you? I know we're talking a little bit off air about that, but.
I actually saw Argo.
Oh, that's up for a ton of awards. That's probably going to get a ton of Oscar nominations.
What are your thoughts on Argo? Did you see it?
I thought it was a great movie. It was tons of fun. It does everything right that a Hollywood movie should.
I thought it was a good, like, adult thriller, you know.
Like Basic Instinct?
Well, no, but, you know, like a movie made for adults, and it's interesting look at a chapter in history. What did you think, though, Jack?
I thought it was good. It was kind of like Blue Balls, though, to be honest with you. It was a lot of build-up. I really didn't get off at the end. I felt like...
Well, it wasn't Basic Instinct.
I just felt like it wasn't. I felt like the ending was cool, and it could have. There could have been a little bit more. With a lot of build up.
They're probably also though hampered by the reality.
Yeah, by
really
fact. You know, those pesky little things.
You know what I hate about the Golden Globes? I hate that they lump music and comedy together because I feel like Les Mis shouldn't be competing. That's like a dramatic movie. It shouldn't be competing against like a comedy.
Yeah. And how often, how many musicals are coming out that they need its own, you know, maybe one musical a year comes out? Like, why is that word even in there?
I think it's left over from a time where most of the musicals from like were kind of light.
But if you really want to talk Oscars, I mean, they're letting 10 Best Picture films in, so I mean...
Well, it's up to 10. It depends on the voting. It's a minimum of between 5 and 10, depending on how the ballots fall out.
So
it's not a given...
So do you dilute some of the inequality?
No, I mean, we've already done this for a couple of years, and it's... Listen, you're going to have the front runners, then you're going to have the also-rans, and that's just the way it is.
What I'm hoping, and it's so funny because by the time people listen to this will know, but what I'm hoping, because it's wide open, that sometimes some really good crowd pleasers will get in there too. Movies that have done well, like Skyfall. I was a big fan of Skyfall, and there's a lot of talk that it could get a nomination.
I heard good things about that.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. You must be a James Bond guy.
Oh yeah, I'm a big Roger Moore fan, ironically.
You know, those were fun. I kind of grew up watching those, and they were a little more...
Is that the one where he's karate chopping everyone?
Hey, Bond, look, Bond can do it all.
He was karate chopping, you're right. Then they started using closed fists.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the social climate changed a little bit. It became more acceptable.
The other thing, speaking of women...
dear God.
We... with the Golden Globes, I'm very... excited that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, two very funny women, are hosting, and I think that could be good.
I agree. I mean, they need to do something, right? I mean, their formula hasn't been working.
Well, Ricky Gervais is actually not going to be in town for the Globes. He won't even be at the show.
He's avoiding all of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's it. He's going to give it a wide berth, so we won't get any of that, but I think it's going to be a fun show. I'm excited, and you know, as we mentioned before, the Globes are special because everyone is getting served copious amounts of alcohol. So right. The winners are usually a bit overserved by the time they get up there, so it makes for some fun, spontaneous moments.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. Are you guys fans of Ricky
Gervais?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
A lot more of his early stuff. I think Ricky Gervais has bought too much into Ricky Gervais, and now he's insufferable. I actually had to stop following him on Twitter because he just drives me nuts.
Really?
Yeah, he's not funny. He's mean-spirited, but it used to work because it worked within his comedy. Now I just feel like he's on this atheist high horse, and he just wants to rub it into everyone's faces. He just wants to be a dick to everyone, and it's not pleasant anymore.
I like his atheist high horse.
It gets tedious after a while. Same reason you don't follow Judd Apatow anymore on Twitter. It just gets obnoxious and self-serving.
Too much.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel about Ricky Gervais. It's like, come on, funny man, make me laugh.
But you're a fan, Jack?
You know what? I just like that he rips celebrities. He pretty much says the honest truth. I kind of like that. Everybody tiptoes around walking on eggshells, and, you know, if he wants to bust Brad Pitt's balls or, you know, Tom Cruise's balls, I like that. You know, if Travolta's gay, big deal. Like, who cares, you know?
Travolta's gay?
Exactly. He says it how it is. I appreciate that.
Now, Jack, moving on. Are you a baseball fan? Are you into baseball? Because that's my sport.
I'm pretty familiar with baseball.
I am aware that a ball is played with a stick and a diamond.
You can test me. I'm pretty. I'm okay with it. I think it's boring as hell to watch. I used to like playing it. I played baseball in my earlier days, but I do like talking about it.
Well, I'm about to talk about it a little bit here because. The Baseball Hall of Fame, every year, you know, they make their announcement, who gets in, and it's all the greats. Like, last year was Barry Larkin, you know, great Cincinnati Reds shortstop.
I don't know what you're talking watching. About. Isn't a Larkin a bird?
Anyway, this year, there were a lot of controversial names up. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, you know, names that have been, like, a little... tainted because they've been accused of performance-enhancing drugs, because human growth hormone, all this stuff.
Because they're pedophiles. They love performance-enhancing drugs. Nice. Peds.
So, anyway, this year, in fact today, the day we're recording this, the Baseball Writers Association of America made.
Now, who votes? Exactly, who exactly is voting?
They're the goes? Baseball Writers Association. They are,
so it's the press.
It's the press. And okay. I believe you had to be a member of the association for 10 years to be able to vote.
Okay.
And some of these people got an axe to grind. And some of these people, like, some people are legit, like, really great reporters like Tom Verducci or Buster Olney.
But with, like, a Vin Scully, a book announcer, they don't count it.
No, he doesn't. He's an announcer.
He's Vin Scully.
He's great, but he's an announcer. So, as we all know, this whole era has been kind of tainted a little bit by steroids. We don't know who did steroids. We don't know who didn't. We have some ideas. But the problem is, baseball itself never had a testing program. Now they do. But when these people were playing, they didn't. So basically, the union and the league were basically saying, well, you know, we're just not going to ask any questions, but you guys hit a bunch of home runs.
Never mind, your head is four times the size it used to be.
Exactly. And this is why I'm fucking pissed off today, and I'll tell you why. Because they did the vote today, and they didn't let Bonds in, and they didn't let Clemens in, and not only that, other players who just happened to play in this era, who they have zero evidence did any steroids, like Mike Piazza, a great catcher for the Dodgers and then Mets. They didn't allow any of these people in, and it really pisses me off because you can't base this shit on suspicion. Do we know Roger Clemens did it? Probably, but we can't fucking prove it. It's like, it's ridiculous, it's uncalled for, and the Baseball Writers Association of America, you're the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. You should be letting these people in because you can't prove shit. And if you can't prove shit, you gotta honor some of the greatest players who have ever played the game. And quite frankly, Barry Bonds, before he was accused of anything, he was one of the greatest players to have played this game. And since he never tested positive, I'm sorry, you gotta let him in. We know what happened. There are assholes in the Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb, there are cheats. Gaylord Perry admitted to scuffing up baseballs to get 300 wins. He cheated. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. So you know what? Let these people in. That's what I say.
And it's not even, you call a Hall of Fame, you think of this hall and there's pedestals and statues. It's a museum. It's just a fucking museum, right?
Yeah, of baseball.
It's a baseball museum. It's not like a temple to Zeus.
You know what? I mean, everybody, if we are worried that everybody did steroids, then it's an even playing field, so these people were the best of their generation.
They were the most efficient steroid users of their generation.
But I mean, there's something to that. I mean, what do you think, Jack? Am I off base here for being annoyed for them not letting people like Bonds in?
Nice metaphor.
Well, I mean, I gotta tell you, obviously Bonds is unbelievable, but I mean, I think the one reason that Bonds and Clemens shouldn't be let in is nothing to do with steroids. I'm pro-steroids. It's actually, I think they should do all the drugs they want. It's just for being such arrogant assholes. That's the thing.
But
it's
like going back to Ty Cobb and, you know.
I mean, we can't keep people out from being arrogant assholes because otherwise we'd have to kick half the Hall of Fame.
Oh, understood. But that's my beef. I'm totally with you. Trust me.
Pete Rose, who didn't even do steroids, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
He's not in the Hall of Fame because he was the cardinal sin in baseball is gambling.
Gambling, right.
Because of the Black Sox scandal.
Yeah, and he gambled on baseball. But my take with Pete Rose, that pisses me off. He's not in. If you want to say you broke the cardinal sin, you can never manage again, you can never work in the front office again, I totally buy that. But the man is the all-time hit leader. Put him in the fucking Hall of Fame. It's a joke.
It is. It's all politics. I mean, they need something to gripe about.
And baseball did this to themselves. They could have had a steroid program back in the 90s, but they saw Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa hitting all these home runs and saving baseball from the fucking strike that they had in 1994, and they decided to look the other way, and now they're punishing these players. But you are right about Bonds. I don't know if you ever read the game. It's a great book, Game of Shadows. And it's
by George R. R. Martin?
No.
Okay.
But Game of Shadows. And it's about how Bonds got into doing steroids because he was jealous of the fact that he was a better ball player than Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, and they were getting all this credit. And he was like, well, I'm going to hit so many fucking home runs. So it really, you're right, it is Bonds' arrogance that got him into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think that's what it is more so. I think, listen, when's the last time you heard Annie Pettit's name mentioned with steroids?
You never hear it.
Right. Why do you never hear it? Because he just admitted, he's like, hey, man, Justin Bieber smokes a little weed this weekend, off the subject, but he's like, ah, I made a mistake. You'll never hear it. It's the people that they actually facilitate this themselves by...
Right.
Listen,
and they play
that's
games.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
They deny it so much and so much that they can't go back. Andy Pettit, he was questioned. He said, I used steroids when I was injured to get back sooner. I did it for this reason. And then I, you know. And then after that, when the steroid system was, when the testing system was in place, he never tested positive because he wasn't doing it that time. I think a bigger issue is going to come into when you have guys like Manny Ramirez, who was one of the best right-handed hitters I've ever seen. But he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame because, like an idiot, when they started a testing program, he tested positive.
Didn't he get suspended for like 100 games or something?
Yeah, and he got suspended, and it's kind of, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're already a great ball player.
It's not exactly the brightest bulb in the scoreboard, though.
I mean, but Bonds and Clemens, they never tested positive. I don't see how you can keep them out forever, and I think they'll eventually get in.
Well, they have a 15-year window. This is their first...
Now, they had DNA on Clemens.
They had DNA on O.J. Simpson, too. How'd that work out?
But... Well, when you put a glove over a latex glove, it usually doesn't fit. But...
is that also in the book?
No, I do promote latex though.
You do say that in the book.
You know what I realized? This is possibly our most pro female episode ever. The women are gonna love this episode. We got baseball. We got getting laid. We got girls.
We talked about girls.
Yeah, and we talked about Tina Fey and Amy Poehler for a sentence.
You know what? Here's the other thing with the whole steroid thing. If Mickey Mantle could have took steroids, he would have took steroids. All these guys would have done it.
The purest player in the history of baseball?
Would have took steroids?
No. Who, in your opinion, who's the purest player in the history of baseball?
Just as a human being? Lou Gehrig.
Nah. Well,
Lou Gehrig.
Sandy Koufax.
Oh, because...
Wouldn't pitch on Yom Kippur, was true to his principles, and went out on top.
You know what the other thing is? Baseball recently banned amphetamines. All these guys in the Hall of Fame were taking greenies before the games. And, I mean, that's to a point in a performance-enhancing drug. I don't know. I feel like you got to let him in. Let him in the fucking Hall of Fame. Ugh. It pisses me off.
Yeah, but you know what? What else are they going to talk about? Now that is, you know what I mean? But like you said,
it was a savvy move.
What was?
Not voting any players in was a savvy move. Now, keeps the conversation going.
It's embarrassing.
Savvy.
Well, I'm really angry about this.
We'll have to wait. It'll give them more time to wait and kind of, you know, look at their decisions, you know?
Yeah, they'll let these people in.
Well, very quickly, just last thing on this. They have 5 years after you retire is when you're eligible to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And then for 15 years that you can be voted on. After 15 years, if you're not in after 15 years, it's it. Your window's closed.
Yes, or if your percentage of votes goes below a certain point.
Okay.
So, like, there are people who are up this year, but they got, like, 1%, so they're never gonna get, you know,
got it
done. But they shouldn't. They weren't gonna get in anyway. You know, these baseball writers, so they're fucking joke. One guy voted for this guy Aaron Seeley. Anyone who votes for Aaron Seeley, who the fuck was he? He pitched for Seattle a little bit, pitched for Boston a little bit. Nobody knows who the fuck he is, and you're giving him a vote. Fuck you.
So the baseball writers are basically the Hollywood Foreign Press of baseball. They're this insignificant group who happen to have a little bit of power. And they make decisions.
They're a little more significant, I guess. Yeah. I'm angry about this. And on the plus side, I always like to end with a little weird little thing. And I saw this great story that makes me feel very happy. Because I mean, people who listen to this podcast know I get so full of fucking rage. I get really angry about some things. And a new study shows that angry people live longer. So if we keep doing this podcast, I'm going to live forever.
I can see that. You know, you just keep the blood going. You're always replenishing the humors.
I'm not keeping anything bottled up.
It's true. You know what I always love is when you see these people I love. You get these people who are health nuts and exercise nuts, and they eat well, and they have a strict diet. For example, the guy who founded Power Bar Company died of a heart attack at 53. He exercised every day, went jogging, ate well, didn't eat red meat, like, dropped dead. You know, then you get those people that smoke and drink and, you know, fuck around. They live to 110.
Good for that. Look at Keith Richards.
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I have a funny story. I've actually partied with Keith Richards about 9 years ago on New Year's Eve, and the following year he almost died. True story. Same place. He fell out of a coconut tree.
Oh, I remember when he did that. Oh, you were there when he, okay.
No, you were there the year before.
I was there the year before at Paracay Island. My buddy does his, was doing him, and Bruce Willis have a New Year's party every year on Paracay Island. And
where is that?
Keith, it's in Turks Caicos.
Oh, okay.
Free for all, which is like, trying to think, I think it's 300 miles southeast of Miami.
Okay.
Not far from Haiti.
Well, Haiti, jeez. Yeah.
What was Keith like?
Awesome. He was with Patty Hansen and his two kids, and Bruce was there, and actually Ashton was there when he had just met Demi. He just started, I guess, dating Demi. Bruce was with a girl, if you guys remember, Brooke. I think her name was Brooke Burke or Brooke Burns.
Yeah, right.
And then it was just like a really weird crew, and me, who had no business being there. I was just there because my buddy was doing the entertainment, and Keith got into a fight with a Santa Claus statue. True story. Jumped behind the bar. It was like one of those plastic Santa Claus that light up, and punched the thing and ripped it out of the wall. And his wife's like, "Oh, Keith, what are you doing?" He's like, "That fucking thing was talking shit, mate." And I'm just like, "Oh my god, this guy's awesome."
That's phenomenal.
Sounds like a Kiefer Sutherland story.
I think he's done similar to these guys. I think you're right. These hard drinking guys, they're the ones who live long.
Yeah.
They bang and drink. I mean, they have all, you know.
Jack, you don't get into any of these you don't get into any of these health nut things. Like, you're like you're out there drinking and
whoring.
Whoring, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm pretty into health. I'm like a walking hypocrite.
That probably, you know, honestly, that probably helps with the women. If I'm drunk eating a bacon cheeseburger, grease coming down my face, it's probably not the...
Yeah, I mean, I just look at myself as what we look for when we see a woman. You know, we want someone that looks good naked, and I try to come across like that. I mean, listen, it's not easy. I work hard at it, but I'm a little vain and shallow and a little selfish and kind of superficial. So, you know, admitting all that, I think, is half the battle, right?
Well, at least exactly. At least you're willing to admit it. I'm in complete denial.
I look better naked than you would think.
Listen, I'm sure you do. I have no doubts in my mind.
You look at me and you're like, this guy's not going to look good naked. And then they see me and they're like, you know what? This is better than I thought it was going
to
be.
I look exactly naked how you would imagine me to look naked.
That's a terrifying
That's funny.
Well, look, the point is, Jack, you could be healthy, but just don't keep things bottled up. You know, yell and be angry a little bit so you live longer.
Maybe masturbate occasionally. It'll do you good.
That helps. That was Ernest Borgnine. Ernest Borgnine said the key to living to like 94, 95, or however old he was when he died, he said he masturbates a lot.
There you go.
That's true?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Go on YouTube and look up Ernest Borgnine masturbation, and you'll find the quote. You'll find the clip.
But here's the thing. Why masturbate? Because only hesitation leads to masturbation. And, Jack, we want to thank you for coming on and telling our listeners how
maybe...
I had
a great time, guys. Yeah. And I'm going to be out in L.A. next month, so I'd love to try some of these techniques in action with you guys in person.
Drop us a line. We'll go out.
You, me, Will, Andrew, Marchant, we'll go out. We'll hit the town. We'll make this happen. Zach Fox will join us, and it'll be grand.
Who is this woman? Just out of curiosity, is Marcel. What's her name?
Andrea Marchant. She is the voice of the podcast. She's at the beginning of the podcast. You hear this lovely woman. Before you hear our nasally voice, you hear this lovely woman's voice. And it is her. She is the voice of the podcast.
Now, not to stalk her, but how do you spell her last name? Because I had to do some research to make sure I bring my A game.
Silent Q.
I'll check it out.
It's like March Ant. Not to be confused with March Hare.
Marge Ant?
She's going to kill me. Marchant. She's a lovely woman, and she's a very dear friend.
Gotcha.
And she's very angry at me right now.
Oh, no, I'm harmless, but I appreciate
it. Oh, I'm sure she's made up her opinion on you. Trust me, buddy. She knows exactly what you are. Oh, we're getting an earful on Sunday.
Guys, great talking, and I'll let you know when I come out
there. No, once again, tell us where they get the book and where they can find you.
The book, Hesitation Leads to Masturbation, A Gentleman's Guide to Getting Laid. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Amazon, which, you know, download the free Kindle app and check it out. Tell me what you think. If you hate it, tell me. Just review it. Right, wrong, or indifferent. It's just about being who you are.
And you said you're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. Jack Dalton does. Come follow me on Twitter. You the Hesitation Leads to Masturbation on Facebook, or Jack Dalton on Facebook as well.
And like I said, we've liked the book on our Facebook page. So if you're a good listener, you could at least go look, check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Surprise, Timothy Dalton.
I did the same for you guys, or I have to. I think I did, but it's been a little hectic over here, East Coast. We were displaced from the flood, so Sandy came
about?
In and.
And fucked you.
Yeah, they
and not
were.
The right way.
I'm surprised Timothy Dalton's not your favorite James Bond.
Nah, Roger Moore, man. Octopussy.
That's a good, better title than it is a movie. Sean.
Well, you can follow me as usual on Twitter, Facebook, TheSeanDavid. And you can also get my book on Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, Three Tales. And, you know, go ahead and read it. A lot of people have been asking about my writing recently, and I go, well, I talk about it all the time, so it's not a mystery. You know where to find it. And so go ahead and do that. And then, you know, letterpress, Instagram, all that fun shit.
And you can follow me at The Real Will Link. You could also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies. It's fun. And, you can also read some of my film criticism at you1can.com.
You have your top 10. Yeah, you have your top 10.
My top 10 movies of the year are up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go check everything out. Next week on the show, we were talking a little bit about it today, but we're going to be doing an Oscar show. We're going to go through the nominees. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to make a couple of picks that don't hold us to because it's far too early, but it's going to be fun. And then we got the 50th episode, a one year of this podcast, end of season one. It's going to be great.
And we can't tell you anything about it.
Can't tell you anything about it. There's going to be special guests and surprises. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be only slightly self-serving. But we've done 50 of these, so we owe it to ourselves.
We've done 48.
We will have done 50.
We will have done 49. All right, and on that note.
And on that note, Jack, one more time, thank you so much.
Likewise, guys. Thank you. It was a great time. If you love to come back some point,
when you're in town, we'll introduce you to Sardo's.
Absolutely.
We'll go to Porn Star Karaoke. Hello?
To it, guys. Really do.
Okay.
All right.
And on that note,
we're finished.
We're finished.